And we're back. Hi, I'm Robert Green, host of the Visual Studio Toolbox show on Channel 9, and I'll be your host for the next half hour, and with me is my guest, the illustrious Andy Wigley. Hey, Andy.
Yes, hi, Robert. No,
technical evangelist extraordinaire from Microsoft UK.
That's right, yes.
And we're going to be talking about Windows Phone 8.1.
Yep.
And Andy knows quite a bit about it, having spoken on the subject at Build.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't speak at Build.
No, I was heads down during Build, creating the Jumpstart content.
So you did the MVA, Microsoft Virtual Academy, a Jumpstart with Matthias Shapiro.
Yes, that's right.
But you did speak at Tech Days in the Netherlands.
Yes, indeed.
And those videos are up on Channel 9 now.
Yep.
And then you're speaking here.
I've done three sessions here. Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's been a lot of stuff. It's been really intense getting up to speed with Phone 8.1. And then all the work's done now, and the content's out there. It's
cool.
Really cool. Yeah.
So let's start off by talking about what's in Phone 8.1. What's so exciting about it? Why are people excited? What's the buzz?
Yeah.
If you will.
Well, you know how it is when we release a product and it goes from 8.0 to 8.1. You'd kind of think that would be like a little jump.
Right.
But no, this is massive. It's massive. I mean, it's 8.1 because the big deliverable, of course, is that we've converged with Windows 8.1.
Right.
So that's the huge thing that everybody's excited about. We're kind of delivering on that one Microsoft promise and bringing together the dev platform. So up until now, we've had this kind of phone way of building XAML-based apps and the Windows way of doing it, and they're kind of the same, but not the same. So we've brought them together, and we've got a converged platform. So
explain a little bit more about exactly what that means.
Yeah, so it means that a developer can now build using exactly the same APIs and pretty much the exact same XAML, the same way of doing things to build an app for both a tablet, PC, TV, whatever, big windows if you like, and also for the phone. So we've completely brought that together. It means that it's very easy for a dev now to create one solution that where they're sharing maybe 90% plus of their code, no, maybe more, 95%. All the code is shared between an output for Windows and for Windows Phone. So it really makes that so much easier than it was
before. It also means that, particularly for XAML developers, the flavor of XAML you use is now mostly the same.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah, I mean, there's a few edge cases. So what we've ended up with is it's two different XAML flavors on the phone. So the way that people have been building apps for Windows Phone up till now is actually Windows Phone Silverlight. It's a Silverlight for creating native apps. And that's what we've been using from Windows Phone 7 through 7.1 and through 8.0. And now with 8.1, you can still use that. It's absolutely, we still totally love it. And absolutely, if that's your skill set, don't worry, we're protecting your investment.
Right.
But we've also brought the Windows Runtime XAML, which is the flavor that people have been using for building store apps for Windows, that is now on the phone as well. So going forward, if you're going to make life easy for yourself, you choose the Windows Runtime XAML flavor and build universal apps. You easily can create an app that's going to run on the phone and on the tablet and PC.
Now, you can also do this with JavaScript.
Absolutely. Yes, that's another big deliverable. So we brought WinJS.
It's like the first time in the history of Microsoft that we talk about XAML to the and put JavaScript in the background. It's never happened before.
That's right.
Probably will never happen again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But WinJS is on the phone as well.
Okay.
So if your skill set is HTML and JavaScript, you can use that to build native apps for the phone, just the same thing for desktop. Yeah.
This is very exciting for web developers. I met with a customer about a month ago. And they had built a Windows 8 app using HTML and JavaScript, because that's what they know.
Yep.
And then they built a phone app.
Right.
With XAML.
Okay.
Which for them was not a happy experience.
That's a steep learning curve if that's not your skill set.
Yes, they both end in an ML, but that's,
And when were you talking to this customer?
Actually, I talked to them a week before Build.
Okay, and then you rang up a week later.
Watch the Build keynotes, because you might see something that you might like, and I can't say anything more.
Yeah. it's always frustrating, isn't it, when we can't disclose to the wider world what's just around the corner, and there's all this, and it really is a big, exciting release, this one, with loads of great stuff in it.
Yep. Yeah. So for those guys, they can reuse the HTML, the JavaScript, the WinJS across both Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8.1.
Yep.
And now for XAML guys, you can share the API and the XAML. It's literally very close to the same thing.
Yep, that's right, yeah. I mean, you have to think of any, talking about the XAML one, actually, and the WinJS one as well, underneath all of that, we've got the Windows runtime.
Yes.
So on Windows Phone 8, we kind of had a little subset of the Windows runtime. So there was some stuff in there that was the same, like a little bit of Windows storage, in-app purchase, some sensors, APIs, not a lot else.
Yeah.
Speech, yeah, there was a few bits and pieces, but so there was some, and that was kind of a pointer of what was coming. So now in this release, you've got the whole shooting match, the whole Windows runtime.
Right.
So all the APIs that are doing stuff like sharing the share contract, Bluetooth LE, NFC, all the big data roaming storage,
geolocation, all that,
geofencing. Right. Yeah, geofencing. It's really loads and loads of really cool features. Email with attachments, that's a big one that gets a cheer from all the phone devs. They've been asking for that forever. Yep, you can do that too. Yeah.
So there might be some things that, some device-specific calls that would vary across the platforms, but for the most part, we're saying essentially 80 to 90% the same. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Comfortably, yeah. I mean, I did a talk yesterday here at the show, which it may already be up on Channel 9. If not, it will be very, very soon.
Right.
Which is about Build for Both, and I drill down into, I take a Windows app, and then I turn it into a universal app, and basically copy most of it down into this shared folder, this shared area, which means it ends up in both the phone output and the Windows output. And it's really not too difficult. But then, yeah, there's the few little edge cases where, like the hardware back button, for example, you know, we've got that on the phone. We usually have the back button is actually on the top app bar in a Windows app, and we don't have a top app bar on phone. So there's a few things that are there that really reflect actually how people use apps differently on a tablet compared to a phone. So things like that. Yeah.
Now let's talk for a minute about naming.
Okay. Yes.
So the first thing is the concept of a universal app.
Yes.
So in reality, it's not the case where if you create a new project and you choose the universal app template, you don't get one executable, one package that runs on both the store and on Windows 8 and Windows Phone. You basically get three projects, one for the Windows 8 or Windows Store app, one Windows 8, we'll get to that naming in a second.
Yeah.
One for Windows Phone, and then the shared project. And when you build, you wind up building the Windows 8 package and the Windows Store package, and you upload those both into what is becoming a more unified store.
Yeah.
But you still don't have one executable that runs on both.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And, you know, and some people might say, "Oh, why don't we just have one package and then it can take care of it?" You know, maybe we'll get to that down the road. But
yeah,
you know, you have to think of that shared project. It's actually doesn't have a, there's no DLL that compiles out from that. It's not like a class library. It really is. Everything that's in the shared project simply is then duplicated, if you like.
Yeah.
It's exactly like Adder's Link, in fact, is what people may have used in Visual Studio before.
So the compiler is smart enough to say, build the Windows app. Everything in the Windows app and everything in the shared app gets built into
together. And then,
the package and then do the same thing for the phone. And
if
we added additional project types in the future, then it would be smart enough to do that as well.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
That we're pre-announcing anything, but
no. you've
got the plumbing there to do that.
That's Yeah.
So it's really the universal apps template.
Yes.
But I'm kind of
if you create
hairs or anything, but I want people to understand that there are two different packages.
Yes.
Built.
Yeah, that's right. So I talk of it as a Windows head and a phone head,
mm-hmm.
and they compile to separate packages, and then you upload each of them separately to what at the moment is different stores. But
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the other naming thing.
Yeah. So this Silverlight problem, is this what you're kind of
If I'm building an app today on Windows Phone 8, then when I say I built a Windows Phone 8 app, then everybody knows that I built it with XAML and I targeted the Phone 8 runtime.
Yes.
Pretty crystal clear.
Yes.
And if I say today I built a Windows Store app, People pretty much understand that that's a Windows 8 app, the app's formerly known as Metro, and maybe it's targeting 8, maybe it's targeting 8.1, but it's running on Windows 8.
Yes, yeah.
What do I call a Windows Phone 8.1 app that targets the Windows runtime?
Yeah, okay. So let me answer that in a roundabout way. So first of all, the Windows Store apps that people have been building up to now, nobody calls them Windows Runtime XAML apps, but that's actually what they are. They're using the Windows Runtime flavor of XAML. So all the XAML APIs, the controls, are all in, you know, Windows dot whatever namespaces. They are. It's the Windows Runtime flavor of XAML.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the phone, up till now, people have been building XAML-based apps, but actually, we're now absolutely calling them Silverlight XAML apps. We always used to call them Silverlight back in Windows Phone 7.0 days, 7.1, and then we kind of just dropped the term when we got to Windows Phone 8, but nothing changed. It was still the same stuff. It's a slightly different flavor of XAML, slightly different app life cycle, the events when things get suspended and terminated or suspended and tombstone, deactivated and tombstoned in the ones. Right. But same kind of things are happening, but it's all there's little differences, and the way you code it is slightly different. So obviously, when we get to 8.1, when we talk about a Windows Phone Store app, that actually encompasses both apps built with the new XAML, the one that's come down from Windows, and apps built with the Silverlight XAML. So you know both of them are apps that you can build and submit to the Windows Phone Store.
The store.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's two flavors of XAML. So we call them Windows Runtime XAML, or WinRT apps, and Windows Phone Silverlight XAML.
Okay.
Silverlight apps.
So if I build a WinRT app on the phone, then that's obviously the Windows Runtime XAML targeting phone 8.1 and later.
Yep.
And if I build a phone Silverlight app that could run on 8, that could run on 8.1, the programming model is the same.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of scope for confusion, but we have to just keep that in mind. It's the WinRT flavor of XAML or the Silverlight flavor of XAML.
I think that's the best way to think about it. A WinRT app that runs on Windows 8, a WinRT app that runs on Windows Phone, or a phone Silverlight app.
Yep.
All right.
That's it.
Hey, we solved that problem too.
Yeah, that's easy.
All right. So let's talk about strategies.
Okay.
People who have been building phone apps, who now look at the new stuff we've built and say, oh yeah, I want me some of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, somebody starting fresh, we'd recommend that they target the Windows runtime.
Yep.
But then again, you got to take into account that most phones today are still running 8.
Yeah.
8.1, so give some advice there. How does somebody approach the idea?
And this is something that will be so much easier to answer in 6 months' time or 9 months' time when the volume of devices running 8.1 in the outside, you know, that people are buying and upgrading, there'll be more and more of them. But of course, we've only just released it. In fact, no new phones have gone out yet. They will be going out probably this month.
And I think the update starts in June, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, which is just where we are.
Which
is
pretty close. And then, of course, it depends on when your carrier sends it up. But by the end of the summer, everybody should have it.
Or well, it should
be offered it, right?
Yeah. So the thing is, every phone today that runs Windows Phone 8 currently is capable of running the new update. So there's no kind of mandatory hardware changes or anything that means that existing phones out there that are currently running 8 cannot be upgraded to 8.1.
There's no technically mandatory imperative, but given that my phone's now a year old, I mean, I got to go get a new one, right? So that's mandatory.
Yes, okay, yeah. good reasoning, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But so whether an update to 8.1 is offered for you and your particular phone is unfortunately not completely under our control because it's up to your mobile operator and the OEM who makes the phone to work together and then release the update out. Which, you know, we would expect the majority of them will do, but obviously there's commercial decisions there. Maybe a particular operator would like to sell more new phones and this sort of thing, and that's a business decision for them, unfortunately. So if you're a developer today, of course, if you're a developer, so you've got a dev account or you've signed up for free at appstudio.microsoft.com, which is our web-based tool for creating apps if you haven't particularly got any programming skills. If you've done that, which is free, you can get a special app called the Preview for Developers Today, which you can install on your phone, and that allows you to get the Windows Phone 8.1 update
It's reasonably stable. There's a couple, you know, I've seen people with a couple issues here and there, but in general, it looks pretty good.
I've been using it, and it's awesome. There's so many cool new features for the end user's point of view, and leaving aside the developers, I mean, we're laughing, but, you know, for the end user, you know, the Action Center, the fast swipey keyboard thingy, that's just
Cortana.
Cortana, yeah, the new calendar app. There's so many great reasons. Enhancements to the start screen, it's just a really cool device.
So if someone's in the middle of building a Silverlight phone app or has recently done one, how should they approach 8.1?
Okay.
Or Windows Runtime XAML, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, if you have invested in gaining Silverlight XAML development skills, don't feel downhearted at all. You know, I mean, you can. Well, obviously, you want to still have your 8.0 app out in the store to meet the existing user base who have got 8.0 phones, and clearly there'll be a high percentage of those in the marketplace for a good time to come.
And then that app will, of course, run on a 8.1 phone.
That app will run on 8.1 phones.
A Windows 8 app will run on Windows 8.1.
Yeah. But if you then want to do an update to your app. Mm-hmm. And add some of the cool new features, Bluetooth LE, you know, I don't know, well, what do you want to do with that, sensors or whatever, the sharing, data roaming, loads of great features, geofencing, whatever. You want to add some cool new functionality to your existing app. Then you can kind of fork you can take a copy of your 8.0 app and you can upgrade it very easily in Visual Studio. It's just a right click, upgrade it to 8.1. And once you've done that, then you've got access to all of the new APIs that are in 8.1. Right. That obviously the non-XAML, the non-GUI bits. You're staying with the Silverlight XAML, but underneath it, you've got the whole shooting match of the WinRT APIs.
So, right. So, so now you've got the Silverlight XAML talking to code that talks to the Silverlight API, but you have the ability to talk to the WinRT API.
Yeah, I mean,
are there inconsistencies? Are there things that will break?
There's a few. I mean, I mentioned before, in 8.0, we already had a subset of the WinRT APIs, a little bit of Windows.storage and in-app purchase, that sort of thing. So we already had a bit of this. So now, with an 8.1 Silverlight app, you've got access to the whole shooting match. Few of the APIs, such as the web authentication broker, the file open pickers, and this sort of thing, things that call out to the shell to get them to do something for them, there is a slight difference. So we found that when we were bringing, you know, the Windows flavor of the WinRT down to the phone, that it all kind of worked, except that we have to support. One of the big deliverables for this release is to make sure that the experience for our lower end devices, the ones with 512 megabytes, which we have been selling a lot of, well, that's not only that's still, you know, maintained. Actually, we've set out to improve it.
Right.
And part of that is changing a way a few of these APIs work. So that actually when you call out to a file open picker, and then what the user sees when that happens is they see a screen that's actually come from the shell, from the OS, to say, okay, go and pick your pictures or your music files or whatever it is.
Yep.
And that's the OS. In the meantime, your app has been suspended. I mean, much the same as you're doing app-to-app communication or any other things we've done in Windows Phone apps forever. But the Windows flavor calling that same API wouldn't be suspended. So it's about making sure that we have really good perf on low-end devices, which does introduce, in a few places, and we are talking about a few APIs, so you know, it's not a big deal, this, you see a few differences. So in your shared, you know, you've got a common file with all this logic in that you're sharing between your Windows head and your phone head. You just have to put a bit of hashif Windows phone app do this, if hashif Windows app do something else slightly else. But it's not a big deal.
So we have a question from Blue Chris. One of the things 8.0 did is give lots of features, 7.5 didn't, and 8.1 does the same versus 8. However, if I have an app, all versions have to have the same pricing model and pricing, even though the 8.1 could have more features than the 8, which could have more features than the 7. Plus, the 8.1 might be universal, giving access to purchase on both Windows Phone and store. Any plans to be able to price per platform?
Okay,
interesting question.
I mean, it's a long question, and the key thing there is actually about the universal apps, and we haven't talked about this, but the questioner clearly is aware of this. But one of the cool things from the end user's point of view about universal apps is that they in most cases it's going to make sense for them to have what's the word? I forget it now. But essentially, they buy the app on Windows, and that allows them to get the phone app for free.
Right.
So they get entitlement. That's it. Shared entitlement.
That's an entitlement. That's not a rule, though, right? You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that. But
right.
I suspect we'll see a lot of users. I mean, this is a user satisfaction problem, if you like. You know, actually, if users have to buy it on both platforms, they're probably not going to be terribly pleased about that, because it will look like the same app. It's got the same name. It'll have the same artwork, unless you deliberately... Well, why would you create a universal app that didn't look the same? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and there's other great advantages of this model as well, which we haven't talked about. The data roaming, which I've said a couple of times, is like, you know, you can change settings in the phone app, and automatically, just by storing them in the roaming folder and the roaming settings, they will get roamed up to all your other devices that are running the same app, and that will just happen automatically. And, and that's actually what users are going to expect. And you extend that onto the pricing as well.
I mean, I'm using the Channel 9 Events app on three different devices, on my phone, on my Surface, and on my laptop, which I have with me.
Yeah.
And yes, I expect it to act the same, and I expect it to roam so that when I enter my agenda on one device, it shows up on all the others.
Yeah.
And as a consumer, I basically want the ability to use that app. So yeah, I could see why I would expect to pay for it once and be able to use it everywhere. Yeah. As a developer, my initial thought is, oh, snap, that cuts out 2/3 of my revenue. So there's kind of a balance between the two. But
it is. And one way of thinking about this is actually, if you do create a universal app, you're expanding your potential market out to potentially very, very many more users who potentially will buy maybe just on one. But the other thing you can think about is like the questioner was also saying, okay, you know, every time we get released, we've got a pile of new features, you know, and what am I supposed to do? Just create a new version of my app and give all this great new functionality away? Well, no, you don't have to do that, because you could maybe function your apps that say, oh, you know, if you want, I've got this, you can upgrade to the pro version or something and do in-app purchase to actually allow the user to use some of the new features. I mean,
that's an excellent way to manage it. You could create version 2 of your app and charge people to move from 1 to 2, or you could build an architecture where, you know, assuming you can do that, the in-app purchases gives you the ability to literally charge for it. But another thing you have to keep in mind is, yeah, on the one hand, you don't get to charge, you know, twice, but on the other hand, your cost of developing the app is now dramatically less.
Oh,
so if you've built a Windows 8 app, you build a Windows 8.1 app, and now you want to build a phone app. So let's go back to the Windows 8 days. You build a Windows 8 app, now you want to build a phone 8 app. Yeah, there's a lot of code you can share. You can use portable class libraries. Yeah, there's a lot of XAML that's the same.
Yeah.
There's a significant effort.
Yeah,
now you build a universal app, the extra effort that goes into building the other platform is pretty low. So that kind of says you don't necessarily have to charge as much as you might have thought you were going to. You'd make it up on volume.
That's so right. I mean, and you know, you have to think, if you're a phone dev today, just think of how now expanding out to all the users of Windows 8 machines, you know, that's potentially a massive new market for you to go for. So I would suggest that it's all good news, this, rather than than the bad ones that's been suggested.
Eric, is there a good place to go to see the entire WinRT API surface showing both Win and Phone?
Well, a good place to start, and I can say this from experience, having kind of spent a lot of time in it while I was preparing the jumpstart and trying to see what was in which and which was both, is just actually Object Browser in Visual Studio is a good way of looking at the namespaces and sort of just exploring the API surface and drilling down into different namespaces and objects and that sort of thing. So, I mean, obviously the MSDN docs are...
MSDN has it.
Yeah, has all of that. And I have to say, they've done an awesome job with this release. All the APIs are, you know, you see an icon, whether they're available on Windows or on phone, and there's good notes on which bit, because there's a few, you know, you get a few properties that are kind of ignored on the phone because they don't make sense, and so it's all well documented in that.
Yeah, they've done a really good job.
Yeah.
DeMarco says, can you go into more detail about universal apps and Silverlight projects? How hard is it to make a Silverlight app to a universal?
Good question. Yeah. This is a difficult subject. When we did the jumpstart, it ended up already, I mean, that's, like I say, it's such a huge release, and we were kind of focusing on the new stuff, and already it ran to 2.5 days.
Yeah.
So it was a massive, massive thing already. And we did, in the original drafts, I had a session in there about this exact topic of, okay, you know, it's like, what's the Windows runtime for the Silverlight app developer? So, mm-hmm. And we didn't cover it in the end, but just because we were looking at this thing, and it was just getting so long, and we thought, well, the thing is, there's not a one-size-fits-all answer to this. So, we could give a bit of advice, but we were thinking, actually, it's probably better off that we tackle this one in through other forums, through blog posts and that sort of thing. In actual fact, there's a session at this conference, which is Windows Runtime for the phone for Windows
Nixon
phone developers. Jerry Nixon's done it, yeah. And that will be on Channel 9, and that's a good one to watch that will cover this subject, so I'd recommend you have a look at that.
All right.
Because it actually, you know, just to drill a little bit into that, if you're currently a currently a Silverlight app, a lot of your code, your underlying logic is .NET code rather than Windows runtime sort of APIs, and so you've got a bit of a migration there. And anybody who's already built a shared, you know, a solution where they've tried to share code between a Phone 8 Silverlight app and a Windows 8, and plenty of people have done that, will know what I'm talking about. You kind of have to be on your game to do that. It's kind of the bar that you have to cross to get that is just a little bit too high, you know. It's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
But and in terms of the XAML movement, you think about Silverlight XAML compared to WinRT XAML, you kind of have the same elements, the same names, but then all the styles are different.
It's kind of like Silverlight and WPF. I mean, XAML is XAML. On the one hand, XAML is XAML.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they're not exactly the same. Yeah.
So you can probably copy your data templates across and a little bit of massaging, and you can take your designs across, but it's a manual process. There's no right click convert this a wizard, I'm afraid, which we wish there were, but this is not going to be the case.
Jani Tarunen asks, using these new Windows Phone 8.1 features, what was missing from MVA Jumpstart would be good for another MVA session to cover things like sensors. So apparently 2.5 days wasn't near enough.
No, it wasn't.
Your fans are clamoring for more.
I think Jani was obviously sleeping around about middle of day 2 afternoon, because there was... there was 10 minutes on sensors. I'm sorry. I apologize if you really wanted to go more into it. These are hard decisions you have to make, because we could have been there for a week, you know. So, absolutely. Bluetooth LE, so much cool stuff there, you know, heart rate monitors and Fitbits environmental sensors, and then the geofencing. We did cover that. We looked at each of those, but there's so much more to say and discover about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of new features in the phone. We mentioned Cortana. You know, there's great integration with a lot of APIs, speech, and et cetera. So what are the types of things that, you know, somebody like me who's, you know, I've built data apps my whole life, forms over data, you know, that's me, although, you know, we don't call them forms anymore, you know, screens over data, you know, to be more modern.
Yeah.
But if I want to look at ways of really branching out and things that I could explore, you know, can I do the Bing API, the speech API, the Office API? Does Cortana have an API? What are the types of things I can look into adding to apps?
Yeah,
phone apps to make them more than just a screen displaying data.
Yeah. I mean, just to say, to tackle the Cortana thing there, actually, we've already had an API for Cortana, which was which actually is the speech commands, right?
Okay.
So you saw the keynotes where they're sort of saying, oh, Cortana, you know, saying Hulu, show a movie or something.
Right.
That's actually, we kind of already could do that. We could do that in Phone 8, but it just wasn't particularly discoverable for end users. They kind of had to know, they had to press and hold on the Windows button, and then speech commands would be activated. I mean, how many people know that, really? So now...
Well, I do know that it accidentally activates itself way more often than I activate it purposely.
Yeah, that's right. Now at least Cortana is now a kind of a proper UI for that. It's a real it's a real compelling feature that people are going to enjoy, hopefully, using it. I mean, I use it. It's only actually available at the moment if you set your phone to US region, because obviously we're going to be rolling it out over different district, over a different region. So I think the UK and China will get it at the end of the year, and then other regions will follow after that. So it's going to be a process of rolling it out. But in terms of having your app be launched, you know, interact with Cortana. It's basically speech commands, so we kind of already do that. Other stuff, well, the most exciting thing at the moment for me is I went to a session, our friend Rob Tiffany gave a session here at TechEd this morning. Which was around about
8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
You were there, I was there.
I was there, yes, which is easy for me because I'm kind of halfway between UK time zone and North America at the moment. So
it was not easy getting up in the morning.
But yeah, he did a session which was kind of about SQLite, but what it really was about was the new offline capability for Azure Mobile Services. Yeah,
exactly.
And this whole backend as a service, building your mobile backend in the cloud as a service, easy wizards to create everything you need.
Yep.
And now they're adding all this data sync capability. It's really alpha at the moment. They're kind of working on it, and we'll be seeing more. That will be coming in the near future. This is exciting. Yeah.
And that's another really exciting thing about the merging of the platform. Yeah. Because you can do it on Windows 8 apps, and you can essentially do it the exact same way on Windows Phone apps.
Absolutely.
So now with the convergence, you build an app, and Windows 8 and Windows Phone are as much about the UI as it is about way more about the UI than about the programming model, which is really, really exciting.
It is, yeah.
All right, I think we are out of time. So thanks so much for doing this.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for asking me.
All right. Thanks for the good questions. See you guys around.
Thanks.